Jesus said, "The way to see God's dream for the world is to be born from above by the Spirit. The way to take part in that dream," says Jesus, "is to be born of water and Spirit. That gift is available this day. May you receive God's Spirit, be made whole, and dwell more deeply in love divine." Welcome to Concordia. We're glad you're here for worship this morning. There are a few announcements in the bulletin that I invite you to read. I'll point out a few that this is our last worship service at 10:30. Next Sunday, June 3rd, we begin our summer schedule, and worship time will be at 9 with coffee fellowship following. Also, please note that volunteers are needed for the summer food pantry distribution that Concordia contributes the volunteers for once every year in June, and that would be Saturday, June 16th. If you're available in the morning to help with that, please contact Layla in the church office. Today at 4, we have a community meal here at Concordia, and at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, there's a special meeting for the church council. Are there other announcements that I should highlight this morning? Let's sing together, Stand As We Are Able, number 99 in the red hymnal.
Thank you.
is poured out on God's world. When we cry, Abba, Father, God hears and lovingly responds to us. Now we are called to be born anew. Let's sing Spirit of God. It's not 21:16, it's 21:17 in the Black Hymnal.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Holy God, source of all goodness, you gave your Son for the life of the world and sent your Spirit that your love might abide within us. Teach us how to love each other this day, that we may have life and have it abundantly with you in Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I don't see any children.
Our first scripture this morning is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a high and exalted throne, the edges of his robe filling the temple. Winged creatures were stationed around him. Each had six wings. With two they veiled their faces, with two their feet, and with two they flew about. They shouted to each other, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heavenly forces. All the earth is filled with God's glory." The doorframe shook at the sound of their shouting, and the house was filled with smoke. I said, "Mourn for me, I'm ruined. I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live among a people with unclean lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heavenly forces." Then one of the winged creatures flew to me, holding a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has departed, and your sin is removed." Then I heard the Lord's voice saying, "Whom should I send? And who will go for us?" I said, "I'm here. Send me." The gospel lesson today is from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it's not possible to see God's kingdom." Nicodemus asked, "How is it possible for an adult to be born? It's impossible to enter the mother's womb for a second time and be born, isn't it?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew. God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. It is the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How are these things possible?" Jesus answered, "You are a teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things. I assure you that we speak about what we know and testify about what we have seen, but you don't receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the human one. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him.
Toward the end of the last millennium, I was co-officiating a wedding. I was the young woman's pastor. My co-officiant was the pastor of the young man. Both of us were United Methodist. They were not a young couple just out of high school or college. They had met when they were in high school. They dated for a number of years, then split up, and each went their own journey for a number of years. And then they rediscovered each other. So we were standing before them on their wedding day. These young people, these young adults, stood in the sanctuary. Their love for each other was oozing out of their eyes, falling all over the front of the sanctuary. The other pastor spoke to them about the Creator God, who made everything that ever was, is, or will be, and the place that their relationship had within all of creation. These young adults were devoted to their faith, devoted to their families, and devoted to each other. And they knew where they fit within God's creation. And then it came my turn, and I stood up again with that love. They were oozing all over us. It was getting on my feet by now. I asked them if they thought that they were ready for whatever may come in the future. Are you ready for this? I asked. Do you have any clue about what you are doing today? And for those of you who have been married for what seems like your lifetime, in a good sense, if it just seems like you've always been a part of each other, there are things that have happened along the way that have really surprised you. Some things that you didn't expect. And if you look back, you may say, yeah, I did not have a clue. I warned them, or as Paul would say, I exhorted them that their plans for the future were going to be changed in ways that they could not imagine, that they were going to have deep disappointments. And for them, two of the deepest disappointments were that she could not bear children. And when they went through the process of adopting a baby, a young girl from high school gave them her son for her to be their parents. And after 5 days, she took him back. And then after several months, she came to them again and said, I won't change my mind again. I cannot do this. Please be this child's parents. And everything within them said, don't do this again. You can't stand the heartbreak. But they loved that little boy. And they did it again. And I think there's a 3-month or a 6-month waiting period before it's official. And within days of it becoming official, she came and took her son back. Devastating them. they also had the blessing of joy that they would not have experienced had they not been married to each other. Several years later, they went to China before foreign adoptions became closed. They went to China and they brought back a little girl. And she is the joy of their life. We know that we might not be ready for some things that happen. And I think that that is what Jesus is asking Nicodemus. Nicodemus is an important man in the synagogue, in the temple. He's got several titles. He's a leader. He's a teacher. He's a Pharisee. And all of those titles, all of those pieces of who he was came together to come and talk to Jesus that night. Ruler of the Jews, Pharisee, a teacher, and powerful, he was recognized as religious authority. And he comes to Jesus by night. Now, there's all kinds of things that have been suggested about why he came at night. I think top of the list might have been that Jesus wasn't real popular among all of the Jewish leaders, that he was a threat to them, and he was kind of stirring up the status quo. What would the other officials and even common people think of him if they discovered that Nicodemus was having a conversation with Jesus? He came at night so that others would not see what he was doing. But for John, night and darkness talk more about, are a metaphor for how we live our lives. And Nicodemus was living in darkness in spite of the role and the man that he was. He said, "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God." And who's this we? If there's a we, why is he there by himself? Where are the members of the Sanhedrin, the other Pharisees? Where are the closeted believers? Maybe he uses that we, saying we know, because sometimes we gives us authority. It happens in all parts of our lives. Children are little and parents discipline the child or the children, and they may come to the parents and say, one of them will come to the parents and say, "We think that you're a little bit unfair about that." Now, the one who's coming is the only one who thinks the parent has been unfair, but if they use the we, it seems to have more power. It might have more of an effect on the parents. We see that in our workplace. One person is bothered by the boss and goes and says, a number of us think that there's a better way to resolve this problem. Well, it's only the one, but the we gives him more power. And maybe that's what Nicodemus had going on with him. Another explanation might be when he says the we know, is what he's really saying is, "I don't have a clue who you are, but this is what I heard, and I come to check it out. But no one can do these things that you do apart from the presence of God. He cannot make sense of it all. And it seems that Nicodemus is much like Jesus' followers, because they were with him and it didn't make sense to them. Who is this who can make the storm be quiet? Who is this who can feed 5,000 with fish and loaves? Nicodemus is likely saying, I don't know who you are. Soren Kierkegaard asked, how does one become a Christian in Christendom? In other words, what distinguishes authentic Christian faith from that which is watered down cultural Christianity of our nation and of our organized religion? Some of us, pastors, district superintendents, perhaps even bishops, are like Nicodemus in that we've got the religion down. And the United Methodist Church is having all kinds of conversations about this, saying this is what our Book of Discipline says, this is what we expect of our leaders. But not all of the leaders are following that. I think that Nicodemus got caught up in the religion of his faith, the rules of his faith, and therefore missed the spirit of his faith. And I think that is a word for each one of us. Because as I think of Jesus and how he held his arms open to people who would have been cast aside in his time, children, widows, lepers, how he held his arms open to Gentiles, that spirit of including everyone is what Jesus was talking about. Nicodemus was amazed at this notion of new birth, and he was so caught up in his human flesh kind of life that he just didn't get it when Jesus talked about what it means to be born in the Spirit. Some of us don't get it either. Being born in the Spirit is not just that time when we claim our faith in Jesus Christ and are baptized by water and the Spirit, and we've got it. We've answered the questions we're supposed to answer, and so I've got this Spirit. It's so much more than that. The Spirit, we want it. We can see it in other people. Like that love that was oozing out of that couple, we can see the Holy Spirit just oozing out of people who've got it. And if we feel that we don't have it, or if we feel like we want more of it, we might ask them for the recipe. What do I have to do to have that Spirit within me? And when we ask that question, we're just like Nicodemus. We miss it. because what Jesus tells us is that there's nothing that we can do. What John 3, 16 and 17 tell us is there's nothing that we can do. It's what God does. Now, we do have to be open to that. But it's what God does. I can never do enough of the right things. I can never follow your recipe for how the Holy Spirit so that I can get it. And when we are in the darkness, like Nicodemus was in the darkness, we might know that there's something missing. We might want something, but we don't know what it is for sure. And so what we do is we empty ourselves. We recognize our own fallibility. God didn't send Jesus to condemn us. God sent Jesus to love us. And you know, we sometimes have problems because today we're talking about God the Creator. We're talking about Jesus our Savior. And we're talking about that Holy Spirit that's like a wind that comes on us. And we can see creation and we know that it's real. And we can experience our own brokenness, our own sinfulness, and know with our heart that what Jesus did was for us as well. Reminds me of John Wesley. John Wesley was a learned man. John Wesley grew up in the Word. John Wesley was not only taught the Bible by his mother, he and the older siblings taught it to the younger ones. He knew that about which he was speaking. And he was eager to come to the colonies and spread the word of God to those heathens that lived there. And fortunately, none of us were here at that time, so we weren't the heathens. We were the heathens in East Europe, okay? But John Wesley came, and he was a total failure. He knew he was missing something, but didn't know what it was. And so he went back to England. He had failed in his mission in Georgia. He went home, devastated, demoralized. And one night he was encouraged to go to Aldersgate Street. And there, as someone was reading the preface to the epistle, it hit him. When he couldn't rely on any of his own strength, his own wisdom, his knowledge, when he couldn't rely on that, then he was open enough to hear in his soul what God had done for him in Jesus Christ. And following that night, John Wesley said, "My heart was strangely warmed. I knew then that Christ died for me, even for me." And he understood with his soul what God had done for him. And we know what happened following that. John went preaching among everyone, and people listened, and they came. And he always told them to go back to their own churches, but formed groups of people who were hungry for the Word of God, hungry for the Holy Spirit to be alive in their lives, to be working through them. John Wesley understood that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born from above, born of the Spirit. And Jesus says in this, you will know, you will know the Holy Spirit as you know a wind when it blows and it has an effect on what's going on around it. When we, through God the Creator, the Son, the Holy Spirit, when we can be vehicles for change in people's lives, when people come to know that they are loved by God and that they can share that message, we know that the Spirit has been here. Joseph Rosas tells a story. He said, I remember an old Presbyterian minister who taught us theology in Bible college. One day he said that he could not remember a time when Christ was not real and precious in his life. A fellow student who was troubled that Brother Davidson could not remember a time, an hour that he was converted, challenged him and said, well, how do you know that you are a Christian? And Brother Davidson pounded on his chest and he said, because Jesus lives in my heart. And the evidence of Christ's presence in his heart was real in that missionary's life. God loves each one of us. God has a plan for each one of our lives. When we are born from above, the evidence has an effect on the people around us. Are you ready for our God who loves the world and everyone in it? Are you ready for the Jesus who was sent by God to offer us salvation? And are you ready for the Holy Spirit that brings new life into you, into our community, into the community around us? Are you ready for that? It will come. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that those who believe in him might have life eternal. With loving hearts, let us bring our offerings to God. I invite the ushers forward. Let us pray together. Holy God, your love overflows in the gift of your Spirit. Bless these gifts that we offer, that they may be spread your blessing in a world of hurt and need. Use our gifts to reach others with the story of your great love for our world. Amen. You may be seated. For worship this morning, I received the information that Dave Regala is in the hospital. I talked with Judy and he might be coming home today, but aren't sure about that. He's having some issues with his blood sugar levels, keeping those. We also want to remember that this is a holiday weekend for us as a nation. This we remember Memorial Day and those who gave their lives for us. Are there other people or situations that you would like to lift this morning? Yes. Losing what? And what's his name? Okay. Yes.
Please continue to pray for Ray Strachka, the senior in high school, the senior who's in the hospital. Both bone marrow transplants did not work for his sister. He's forgetting the third one, I think, this week. And it's a match that's an unrelated donor.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Ray Raska, student, is he going to graduate? He'll graduate this this year, in this next week. Has had two bone marrow transplants, both have failed. He's going to be receiving a third one from a donor in Europe. It's amazing, isn't it? Let us pray. Gracious God, from the very beginnings of time, you have poured out your love into this world which you created. People have made decisions about how to respond to that love. Some have chosen to act in ways of peace and justice and mercy, loving ministries of kindness and compassion, and some have chosen otherwise, to impose their will on others, never acknowledging the rights of others, especially the lives of those they oppress. Sometimes we, by our actions, have acted in ways of oppression, but you forgive and you heal us. You call us to be your witnesses of peace in the world. You have given us new life in Jesus Christ. Through him, we are adopted as your beloved children. You've given us opportunities to bring hope and peace to others, and we pray that each one of us would seize those opportunities that are before us now. Gracious God, we pray for the mission of your church, that empowered by your Spirit, we will proclaim the good news of this age in a world that you so dearly love. We pray for all who suffer. That together with Christ, we may find the healing as he did. Today we pray for Charlie and for Dave and for Ray, that your Spirit would provide the healing that they each need. We remember those who have died. In service to our nation and our world, those who fought for what was right and were willing to make such an incredible sacrifice. We remember those from our communities. We remember those in our families as we celebrate the life and the freedom that we have. Hear our prayer, the silent prayers that we lift, the concerns in our community and in our world community. You, O God, have not given up on this world that you have created. Help us to trust that your goodness, that your will has great power. We know that death has no power before you, so we pray for that life and that new life that you gave Christ. We pray now as he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And would you turn to hymn number 593, Here I Am, Lord. go this day, this weekend, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Go and share peace. Amen. Thank you.